Live from the Ketchuslaw Studios, no fee unless you win. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. We would love for you to be part of the show as well. As I said, I'm not a big social media guy during the show, so this is the way we love to stay in contact. Also, go to the Odyssey app if you want to take a listen to us. You can take us anywhere and launch us a take grenade. Press that little microphone button, and you can record a message, and we play it a little bit later on in the show. Ted, I have been holding on to this to get your reaction.
Yeah.
Because you were the first person I thought of when I saw this. It is list season. You know, when it comes to in July, when there's a dearth of other than just regular season baseball, we got a little World Cup stuff. But when it comes to the NFL, everyone loves putting together lists. But this list is by somebody who I respect. Matter of fact, we've interviewed him many times, and he seems like a guy with a good head on his shoulders. Pete Prisco from CBS, and he has ranked the top 100 NFL players of 2026. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a little spoiler alert. Myles Garrett is at the top. I don't think that anyone's got a huge argument with that. Myles Garrett is a generational talent. I think we all know who he is and how great he is. That's not the controversy right there. What I do want to ask you, though, Ted Johnson,
is
if you had to guess who was the highest ranked Patriot on this list, who would it be?
Oh, it should be Drake May. Is what it should be. If it's not Drake May, my guess is Christian Gonzalez. Those are the two best players on the team.
Okay, it is Christian Gonzalez. That is who is ranked highest. And Christian Gonzalez is ranked at number 29.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that Drake May is indeed the second highest ranked Patriot. Would you like to guess what number he is at? The top 100 players in the NFL, according to Pete Prisco. Remember, Drake May, somebody who was second. He was the runner-up for MVP this year. Almost won it if it wasn't for one voter, right? Like, all it took was one guy to change his vote, and all of a sudden Drake May would have been your man?
I think that's correct, yep.
All right. Where in the top 100 was he ranked by Pete Prisco of CBS in the best players?
It can't be any later than 30. My guess is he's got him in the top 20 is where he should be, at least.
Nope. Players. Let's go lower on the list.
Lower than 20. So should be in the 30s then.
Nope. Lower.
Okay. 40s then. 40s for sure.
Lower.
Lower than that. Oh wow. All right. Just to speed things up. How about 60?
Lower.
Lower than 60. 61.
Yes. Ding 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 ding. Drake May. The runner-up for MVP last year is ranked number 61 in the top 100 players in the NFL by Pete Prisco of CBS. Their justification, there's like a little two-sentence blurb they put underneath each one. It says, Drake May, he finished second in MVP voting in his second season, leading the Patriots to the Super Bowl. He threw 31 touchdown passes and just 8 interceptions, but he didn't play well in the postseason. So he's number 61.
Wow.
Which I did hear Ken say that, you know, what about the people who didn't play in the postseason, didn't even make it to the postseason?
That's right.
Those people weren't punished for not being there in the postseason.
Great point.
Can I just give you one name that stood out as that cracked me up that is ranked better than Drake May? And that would be Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is at number 41, 20 spots ahead of Drake May. Lane Johnson, who is 36 years old and coming off of a foot injury, is ranked 20 spots higher than Drake May. Ted, is this how it's going to be all season? Do you honestly think that because the last visual that so many people had of this New England Patriots team was that god-awful performance in the Super Bowl, do you think that now they are looked upon as being a subpar team and one that was wildly overrated all season long? Do you believe that they're going to get a lot of slander going into the season?
I do. And that's fine. And that's the way I would want it. I don't think people are sold completely on the Patriots. And I think a lot of it was because of them barely eking out wins in the playoffs. And you go, well, they still had to win three playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, but then the people are going to look at, but the quarterbacks that they faced were terrible in those games. The defenses were stellar, but still, nonetheless, I mean, the offenses that they played were not very good, and so they had an easy path to the Super Bowl, so they're really paper tigers, that they really don't deserve, you know, kind of the respect that I think that they should get. So I mean, this schedule is so much more difficult. They play, you know, they play, I think, 9 top 15 quarterbacks in the regular season versus they maybe had 2 top 15 quarterbacks that they played in regular season last year. And so they're going to be on a lot more, primetime games, just a much better opponents. And so this is, you know, people are going to kind of wait and see how it goes this year. But I think to start the season, Rich, I think mm-hmm. people aren't going to respect the Patriots and look at them as, yeah, they kind of got lucky. It was an easy path with the easiest schedule since 1971. And then they had a lot of good fortune when they faced teams in the playoffs that had the bad quarterback play or the weather conditions or whatever you want to say, beat up offensive lines, and they'll make excuses. So I don't think people are going to be totally bought and on the Patriots, at least to start the season. Now, they start the season with 4 teams that all went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And that is the toughest 4-game start that any team has faced in years. Like, that is – which is strange to me that no team has faced 4 playoff teams from the year prior to start their season in what I think it's like 30 years. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, if they get through the first 4 games looking pretty good, then I think the narrative will change pretty well. If they get out of this, the first 4 games 3-1, I think people look at the Patriots a little bit differently. But right now, I still think they're in a prove it mode. I don't think people are convinced on just yet.
Is this the kind of thing that you would find put up on the locker, like the Bill would go and use this as motivation and put it out there? Because I think you maybe were the one who told me that, you know, that kind of stuff truly works. Like they listen to the noise, and many times, you know, they talk about locker room material, like stuff that gets you fired up. Is this the kind of thing that would be like distributed?
Yeah,
like,
hey, that's man. Good. I don't know if Pete Prisco's top 100, but man, yes, we're simple. Simple people. You don't have to say much. Just say somebody said something about us, and you know what? Huh? What? You know, and it gets fired up. So you use anything you can to get an edge. My guess is if you know it's got to be from reputable. You know, usually opponents you play are reputable people that you use to maybe kind of get the goat of guys. But that stuff works, man. You know, if you can find people doubting you, disrespecting you. Bring it to our attention, because that matters. That definitely matters, Rich.
The most ridiculous thing on this list, Rich, by the way, is Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is 43rd.
I agree.
Does Pete live in Dallas? Like, I mean, I don't. He last season he ranked him 90th. This season he ranks him 43rd, dude. And he writes, coming off an injury-shortened season prior, he bounced back to play all 17 games. He threw 30 touchdown passes and 10 picks for a Cowboys offense that played loose because of a bad defense. Well, they went 7-9-1.
I know.
He has CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. What did Drake have last year to throw to? And he's ranking Dak 43rd and Drake May 61st. Just doesn't make any sense.
It does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think the fact that he has Drake as the 7th best quarterback?
Let me look at the quarterbacks he's got right now.
So he's got
Stafford at 2,
Josh Allen
at 3. Obviously, no one has a problem with that. Joe Burrow at 5. I think he's way overrated. At 5, that's. Come on, man. He has yet to prove that he is number 5. I know you like him a lot, but I mean, number 5 on this entire list.
Yeah.
He's got Mahomes at 7. Lamar Jackson at 10.
And then a big and then he gets to Dak Prescott at 43.
Yep, and then it goes all the way to Dak.
I think Jordan Love's in there.
No, Jordan Love's in there too.
He's got Jordan Love
and Jared Goff. He's got Jordan Love and Jared Goff ahead of Drake May.
Oh man, so he's got them as the 9th best. I messed that up. Okay. That's ridiculous. I mean, and he's got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert behind Drake May. A lot of people would put them in front of Drake May. So this is an interesting list right here, man.
Yeah, this one's strange. Real quick, you mentioned something, because I love the story about how Belichick found the Super Bowl victory parade route for the Eagles.
Yeah.
What was that moment like when, I mean, because obviously you're like in a hotel ballroom, right, when he did that?
It works, man. Dude, that was, oh, really? Okay. So before we played him in the AFC Championship? Really? You guys already, and dude, I don't know why that worked, but it did. It was, I don't know. I mean, you know, it was like, wow, you're already planning your parade before you even played us. Okay, all right, you know, hold my beer kind of thing. And so that, it's funny, but we were, I don't know, maybe a veteran team where we kind of needed maybe stuff like that. It just, you know, that stuff used to work. Maybe it doesn't work as much anymore. But, you know, 20 years ago when I played, Belichick could say that, you know, this team's overlooking you, man, because they already got a parade route. They already think that it's a fait accompli that they're going to beat you guys. And it's just, man, we were frothing at the mouth. So I'm not sure today's athlete would fall for that as much. But, boy, we certainly did.
Stiz, you want to take Teddy back here? You got it there?
Let me just read you a little something here. I thought this was kind of interesting. First, I thought it was – I couldn't believe it, but it's actually true. I'm talking about the Philadelphia parade after the game. All right, it's 11 o'clock in case anyone want to attend that. It's going to go from Broad Street up to Washington Avenue, past City Hall, then down to Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and we'll end up at the Art Museum. Do your job. Do your job. Just take care of your assignment. Know what it is, execute it, and get it taken care of.
What was, you know, he didn't add anything. All he did was say, man, I couldn't believe it. You know, so he says that before, and then he's, so you go here, you go there, and it's, you think, is that going to fire you up? Yeah. He didn't have to say much. He just has to say, I can't believe it, but, and then he gives it to you, and that was a good way to kind of get his message without going over the top, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it worked. Right. It's effective.
It's a way to do it without going hard O, you know, without also trying to be, you know, the miracle speech.
Right.
Like this, he knew his lane. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
He knew his lane. He did it right. And just even listening to it, I was like, damn, this is pretty rough.
So it's funny because the year before we played the Steelers in the AFC Championship game, and I felt like they had already did. It was something about leaning into that AFC Championship game where they basically said they've already packed their bag or something, mm-hmm. something similar to the parade, or maybe even it was a parade. They got us too. So like that was a strategy of his. That you think, okay, he's not going to go to the well, too many times. Well, he did, and it works, man. I'm telling you, it works.
That's awesome. All right, well, 617-779-7937. You can give us a call. And if you were watching that entire game last night, I mean, it really was a fantastic ending because it could have ended in disaster, and Chad Tracy was right, you know, saying everyone had already written all their stories and you had to delete it all. It was very obviously dramatic. But if you were on the other side of it, listen, nobody is really fooling themselves about the Red Sox with that sweep. It's a great moment. People are looking for a feel-good moment. But if you are a Yankees fan and you watched those games over the last 4 days, this has got to kick you right in the balls. And as a matter of fact, we have audio of a Yankees fan who is doing a live stream. And it's the roller coaster of emotions is just, it's music to my ears. And we will get to that in 2 minutes. We're not going anywhere. Back in two. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Happy 4th of July week. I know that this was the week that I used to look forward to almost crossing over to the other side and tasting death for a moment.
What?
Times have changed, I believe. I think that the world is very safe now. I'm not one of those people who's going to say it's too safe. We used to do things that were super dangerous, and God, we loved it. Listen, I think once you have kids, you're like, geez, we were effed up. Like, we used to do stuff.
It's like fireworks or what?
Oh, well, fireworks and everything else. We would make our own flamethrowers out of hairspray.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I mean.
You Southern kids were different.
Oh, yeah. I'm from the South, man. Definitely. I got Texas roots. I got Iowa roots where fireworks are big, big, big parts of 4th of July celebrations.
Oh, yeah. You made your own danger and your own fun. I mean, we didn't have, like, cities or trains or stuff like that. I mean, you know, potato cannons that could blast a hole in a tree or a hole in your torso if you stood in front of it. But one of the craziest things we used to do is we used to just take full on like those big ass, like the supersized bottle rockets, the one that actually looked like a rocket on the top that had like a plastic point.
Yeah.
And we would light them. And hold them and wait until they got like right there at the end. By the way, I do not recommend anyone do this. I just want to say this.
Yeah.
Do not try this at home.
It's the
dumbest thing you could possibly do.
There you go.
But we would light it and it would get right there to the very tip. And then we would throw it at our friends and just let that thing whiz right into them and it would blow up. And like how we didn't lose an eye, a finger, or anything else. But it was kind of fun though.
You want Jackson to recreate this coming up on the 4th?
Yeah, sure.
Guy needs some work.
Seriously.
Why not? It would be like white trash dad wars too, because like in the neighborhood that I grew up in, there would be like like people's fathers that we never saw, like the entire like year we would never see. Like my friends had a father, we never saw him except for 4th of July because it would be their day where they took a trip to the old, at the time we had to drive to the Alabama border, like, you know, it's like you drive to New Hampshire, and they would take a trip up there and mortgage the house to buy the most badass ass-kicking explosives that they could possibly buy so they could be king of the neighborhood. And it was like on one end of the neighborhood was my friend Jeff's dad, and on the other one was my friend Matt's dad. And it was just like, whose balls are bigger, baby?
Yeah, man.
Like, totally. They would have ones that were called like nuclear fallout, where the inside of it had like an entire, it was like a hole the size of a basketball.
That's probably more fun than having a dad that goes like all out on Christmas here with the lights and the, you know, the front yard stuff. It's probably better to be.
Way more fun. Yeah. Wait, are you kidding me? Have you guys been to a fireworks store lately? Have you seen?
Oh, they're great.
Okay, so Rich, you've gone to a place where they actually show a video of what the firework looks like. So, you know, you have all these fireworks and they're all these different names and boxed and packaged in a way. And you don't know, okay, really what you're getting. But you go over to the screen and you type in what fireworks you want, and it shows you on the screen what it looks like. So it helps you pick fireworks easier. One of the greatest things ever, man. So now I know I just go to that screen and I find all the fireworks I think are pretty. And then I just go find them throughout the store, man. It makes it a lot easier.
That's a lot of analytics. That's, you know, a lot of bitches.
Is that overthinking it?
Yeah,
maybe?
It is.
That maybe.
Might be.
But like things are like so fancy now. Like when I used to go, it was you would get there and it would be weird because there'd be people who couldn't afford shoes who were buying $400 worth of fireworks
Bro,
in front of you.
I know families that they open that for 4th of July and New Year's, and they don't work the rest of the year. They make so much money during those two periods in which they can sell fireworks that they don't have to work the rest of the year.
Oh, sure. There was this, and they would always have like some sort of discount. Like it would be like, buy $5 worth of fireworks and get this cheese wheel worth of like firecrackers. And it would be this like massive like circle that was the size of, oh God, I mean, it would like a pizza. And it would just be a big roll of those ones you just like would light, and it would light all of them together, and you'd put like in the middle of the neighborhood. But I mean, but the ones I used to go to, it would be like you not only got fireworks, but they would sell like novelty hats and stuff, and like there was a shirt that I remember they sold there of two pigs humping, and it said making bacon.
Nice.
And
love it.
So you could get that. You could get, there was another hat that said, you know, I hunt whitetails all year, and it's got like a girl with short shorts and a deer holding a dead deer. It was
only
always
in the
just
south,
the,
man.
Only in the south.
Only
and then
the
you'd want to.
We got the hat shell, and once I did the main thing, the main experience of like you get watch them sink it up to music over like Short Sands Beach.
Yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
It's awesome up there. You get anywhere on the waters.
Do you realize, Ken, that you can actually do that from like you have? There's technology where you can at your home, if you buy a bunch of fireworks, you can actually program it so that you fire them. You set it all up
to music,
to music, and
ooh,
everything.
Ooh.
You can
this
do it now yourself without. You don't have to go to a professional show to do that.
Man.
You can do that now.
AI,
it's insane.
Teddy firework expert.
Yeah, maybe you are sneaky.
It's my family in Iowa. Man, they got it all. I mean, we did it. They set it all up. It took about 30 minutes, and then it went by in like 10 minutes. The fireworks show, but my brother in law did it all from his phone.
Remote control fireworks.
Yep.
Do you know how in the wrong hands that could be the most awesome kick-ass way to get like
rich?
Like,
it's unreal.
Somebody,
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is like our own personal fireworks show, and he did it all from his phone. It was incredible, man.
Please note, fireworks are legal in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Yeah, no, they're illegal here. Yeah,
that just sounds like something from the movie Jackass or whatever. Like you said, like a bunch of fireworks.
They have
in, like,
technology for that, though, man.
Press the button and it goes off.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I wished I was still like a fireworks person. I love them, and it was always
great.
Bring
it back. This could be the year.
I guess. I just remember the danger and like a real sense of danger, and it was kind of fun and awful at the same time, but my parents didn't care. We would also take wiffle ball bats, and you know that little hole in the bottom of the wiffle ball bat?
Oh, we got a text about this. 508 texter said we used to shoot bottle rockets out of the bottom of wiffle ball bats. Is that what you would
do? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd use it like a bazooka. You'd put it like over your shoulder, the bat, and just shoot it out that way.
Boy, that's the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the spark was far enough away from you because
it's
long that you didn't get melted, which was kind of nice. Yeah, I have not been to one of the modern ones you're talking about. It's probably been 10 years since I've been to a fireworks store.
Oh, you need to go to the store, man. It's different now. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I know Phantom's always like they've they're already running already. Like 2 weeks ago, they were running billboards in downtown Boston for, I believe, Phantom Fireworks up in New Hampshire. So
603 text, Ted, are you selling seats to your display?
Yeah, it feels like I'm kind of pushing pretty hard, aren't I?
Yeah. You can make a buck off this.
Well, if you want to fly out to Des Moines, Iowa to see it, sure. Yeah, I'll sell tickets.
Why the hell not? All right, 617-779-7937. Have you ever lost a digit? Lighting a fireworks. No, but I do want to get to this Yankees fan. He is absolutely going through the emotions, and you should feel good as a Red Sox fan. Because you did something that no one expected. You actually pissed off some Yankees fans.
And Breslow saved his job. Somehow the Yankees saved Breslow's job. Yes? I mean,
feels
I mean
like
they staved it off for a little bit, sure.
Yep.
I mean, Ted's already praising him today.
I just want to give him, some little shine.
That Charlie Brown music for Ted there? Can you praise Caleb Durbin?
It's the first time they've won 4 games in a row, right, all season
long? That's it,
yes. They're doing something they hadn't done all year, so I want to give him a little tip of the cap.
Okay.
That's it.
Not too bad, not too bad. All right, we'll get to that audio right after this. Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleib, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Listen to us on the Odyssey app. Launch yourself a take grenade. Press the little button there. It's got a microphone. Leave us a message. We play it later on in the show. That was a fun game last night. That was a great game last night. And it was kind of wild watching. It was funny how the Red Sox were acting as if they had just won the World Series. They came out and like took the Gatorade, they dumped it all over Jared Duran with a walk off.
Well, they
Everyone
sort of did. I mean,
good.
My God, that's your regular season title there. That's
I hear you, Rich. I almost don't blame them considering how bad the season's been. So I can understand the over the top celebration because it's. A lot of guys that are frustrated, and it's been getting beat up in the press, and so for them to...
And for how bad the ninth was to blow it with the airmailed throw and just the lack of any awareness situationally, that would have been the worst loss of the year, I think.
Boy,
they have a lot of candidates. I know we said that 5 or 6 times.
Man, seriously.
But, Rich, if they don't come back, don't you think that's the worst?
No. There's been many worse. There's been a lot worse. Like that, because that one was... From a guy who that never happens to. Like, Willy Abreu is like the last guy that you can rip on for anything. Like, I mean, that's why you felt bad for him.
Well, yeah,
too.
Not for Willy, but like Sonny Gray, no hitter into the eighth. You're ready to sweep the Yankees, and then you almost blow that.
Mm-hmm. Chapman, chokes up 2 runs.
But the thing is, though, is that you'd still walk away from the weekend with, you won the series against the Yankees. Yeah. So you wouldn't feel as bad, and it wouldn't be great, and obviously it would be kind of disappointing, and you could even say, well, they got lucky for a couple of games. But the fact that they came back and won it was just awesome, and you're right, they freaked out. It was Middlebrooks, who was good the whole game, though, afterwards. I don't know if you heard him. They were talking to him like, hey, do you think this is a they can turn it around here? And he goes, you know what? I don't want to get too excited, seeing that they are still 10 games under 500.
Oh, he was keeping it real.
Great
man.
Great job by Middlebrooks.
But what did how'd the Rocket do? I've heard some mixed reviews on that.
Yeah, he was a little sleepy.
Somebody needs to wake up the Rocket. Somebody wake
sleepy.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, that's sleepy. It. Exactly. He was sleepy. And Clemens can be good. I've heard him do a couple games where he was all right. But last night... It's funny you say that because sleepy is exactly the word that I would use for Roger last night. But if you're as cool as it was and as nice of a moment, and I keep saying water in a desert as it felt being a Red Sox fan. Oh my God! If you're a Yankees fan, that was a kick in the ass. Like that was about as bad and embarrassing stretch of games as you could have. You came to Fenway Park trying to beef your stats, trying to continue to just keep your numbers high. Obviously you've got a couple injuries, so we can just walk right in there. Let's make the gap even bigger between first and this is how you do it. And they just got humiliated. Absolutely humiliated by the worst team in the American League. Mm-hmm. And and I wish I had the guy's name. I don't. But this was sent to me. This is a guy who likes to live stream during Yankees games. And you can see it. It's like a Twitch thing where he's got like the people talking left and right in the comments. He's got a ton of followers. And this is his reaction when the Red Sox, the Yankees, tied things up. When they came back, tied things up. Hell yeah, here we go. Extra innings. Let's take a listen. Little check
swing roll. Oh, come home and score. Safe. Yes, bitch. 4-2, baby. Oh, my God. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he was extremely happy. He was freaking out, borderline crying. His name's Joe's McFly, by the way. Of course it is. He's a big Back to the Future fan. Nice. And so a couple of, you know, not much longer. After that, we all know what happened. Jaren Duran gets up there, and you know, all the talk was going to be about Jaren Duran mouthing off. It's still, we still probably should talk about that a little bit. But seeing that he had this big walk-off, you know, the narrative kind of changed a little bit. But here's how Mr. Yankees fan took that moment.
Nobody, nobody. Oh my God, it's insane, bro. A f***ing painter, bro. Why the f*** did I turn this shit on, bro? Why the f*** I did this shit to myself, bro? I was playing Batman, bro. Chilling, bro. You motherf***ing ran away to ruin my f***ing night, bro. I said I wasn't gonna do it, and they let me, bro. I let them, bro. The f*** sweat. The f*** sweat. By the bum-ass Red Sox, bro. The worst team in the AL, bro.
Tremendous game. Fun to watch. Like I said earlier, fun.
Sweat, B. Come on. All night long. Ass.
Yeah. Anytime he can get your off, that's big for him.
Cheeks. You got no hit by Sonny Gray for man long. And you got walked off.
I just like at one point, it's damn, quiet. Bro. He just yells, ass.
Ass, and then follows it up with cheeks.
As cheeks.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that this series means a lot more than just our brief entertainment and a brief feel good moment.
Here we go.
No. I've already embarrassed myself like being like, whoa, here we go. No, I mean this in a different way. And that is that going into this series, I was giving Chad Tracy all sorts of credit for keeping the clubhouse under wraps and like for making it so like the drama didn't spill out. And then right before this started, it was after the first Yankees game, where the report came out from Sean McAdam that Marcelo Meyer was, by some people in the organization, thinking that he was soft physically and mentally. And which, by the way, Ted, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
There's really nothing worse that you can call somebody, you can call an athlete, than soft. Isn't that correct?
It is probably the worst insult that there is. You say you're a coward or you're soft, and that's probably gets to a place that most athletes would, you know, I mean, it would enrage most athletes.
What about Jalen's dad calling Perk a boy? Watch your mouth, boy. That was a tough one too.
Yeah, that's disrespectful. But it's not. It doesn't touch being called soft or being a coward.
So, exactly
what McAdam said was, Mayer has his detractors within the organization.
Detractors. There you go. Yeah.
But then it says some question his mental toughness and his tendency to withdraw during slumps. Others wonder if he couldn't do a better job making himself more available through the day-to-day minor physical setbacks that inevitably occur.
Yeah.
Yay. That is.
How do you guys interpret that? Do you guys want to cap
it? Soft.
Yeah,
soft.
It feels like not professional. Like a professional, if you got injuries, you got nicks, you take care of it, you get treatment, you show up, you're on top of it. So that, you know, it doesn't become a worse injury to me. So it sounds like he's saying he's soft, but it also that he lacks professionalism too. That's how I interpret that.
So you had that going into it. And then you had the moment during Saturday's game where Jaren Duran started mouthing off towards a fan. Do we know what he said? Like that's the one thing we don't know. Like, was there any lip reading? Do we know anything?
Somebody who said he was the dude called in this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and he said all that he was saying was 198, which is Jaren's batting average. So that seems to be the consensus among people who were anecdotally in the region. There was nothing too nasty. It was just his batting average, and he lost it.
Yeah.
And then Duran kind of calmed down afterwards and said nothing happened. But
didn't Chad Tracy say that he heard, they asked him what they said? He acted as if he knew what they said. He goes, I don't want to talk about it. It's not, I mean, you hear mixed results. Every time this happens, Rich, you hear that it was not anything, you know, too bad, but it was just calling him out about his play. So you never know where the truth is on this. But, dude,
yeah.
JD, like, this is kind of exhausting. I mean, revealing too. I think this has been going on for years. This isn't the first time. I mean, this happens, you know, once every couple months. So it says so much, I think, about his mental state and why, you know, I said a couple of years ago they should have probably traded him, but it just, this thing keeps happening, man.
Well, Chad Tracy was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
At the end of the game there?
Yeah.
Just some people that were chirping, had been chirping for a few innings and started chirping towards Jaren again. We grabbed him and got him down, just told him, can you get him out? That was all.
What were they saying?
Just chirping at him.
Like regular baseball chirping?
I don't want to get into the details. Just enough to for us to say, can you please get him out?
Okay, so there was that moment, which,
dude,
once again, this is, we've seen this before, you know, with Jaren Duran. And unfortunately, you know, after the whole Michael Holly thing where he went off, you know, when the Michael Holly did that thing about Roman Anthony, you know, you would think after that there would have been a conversation, and maybe there was a conversation, but it didn't stick on, dude, you just got to, if you got a problem, you're going to have to just either deal with it in the clubhouse or maybe even Chad Tracy says, let me deal with it. Yeah. Don't be the guy screaming at the people. And I know it's tough to do when someone's yelling something at you, but you know, this is what I was talking about. These are the kind of things I was talking about that it seemed to be under control and that seemed to pop up when a team is doing poorly.
What would you guys think when I say this, like of all the major sports, I think baseball by far is the hardest sport to let this stuff roll off because it's a quiet stadium. You're standing right there in the you know, the cleanup spot. Mm-hmm. They're right 2 feet away from you. They can say whatever you want. And baseball is so mental. It's such a mental game compared to the other sports. You know, you can't really hear once the game starts. You know, it's just,
I would think basketball though. You're right. So you're front row. You're like right. You can,
but you're in the flow. Like you don't have to. You're not. You react fast. It's just kind of like you. Your brain just takes. You take your brain out and you just react. Where baseball, you got to think and you have time before. You know, you have time to think before the ball gets to the plate, and it's just, I think, a much more mental game.
And so the players are,
I think, you have a bigger impact by chirping guys on a baseball field than you could in any other arena.
Right. Yeah. Contreras will fight the whole team if he gets thrown out inside, or you know, he gets stared at funny, or the bat flipped wrong. So
yeah.
It's definitely volatile.
Well, then you had that moment. Apparently, Raffaello was talking to a fan in the stands, and they were jawing at each other as well. And that's why when I think this win means a little bit more to this team than just the fact that they won and that it was a good thing. I think that if they would have lost or they would have like won one out of the four, it could have been truly a disaster. It could have been the moment that Chad Tracy just completely lost the locker room. Like just those three things seem to show that there was a kettle that was starting to boil and things were about to blow. And at least you had this really big feel-good moment that was on Sunday Night Baseball against the best team in the American League that for a while at least kept things at bay. Now, does that mean that that stuff's not going to bubble back up? Absolutely not. If you got issues there, you got to fix them, man. You got to start talking it out. You better get that stuff under control pretty quick. And you've got like a nice little Band-Aid for a while. But I think that if they would have lost this series, things could be really, really bad right now. And I was wondering if the things were going to get to a point where you're like, Chad, man, the locker room's out of control. And I don't you think we dodged a bullet by having them win the series?
The only thing I push back on that, Rich, is the profile of this team. You have a lot of young guys, new guys, inexperienced guys that are trying to prove themselves. And to be sour behind the scenes, to be disgruntled, like, these are guys that are trying to prove themselves every single day. And so none of these guys have a right to suck their thumbs or feel sorry for themselves or to act out or to, you know, be, I don't know, malcontents in the locker room, because they're all kind of trying to prove themselves in this sport. So I just think the profile of this team doesn't lend to that kind of stuff that you're suggesting it could happen with all the losing. So I just don't think it's going to ever happen, because I think there's a lot of – if whoever the malcontent is, people are going to look at them and go, bro, really? Like, you've been here for a cup of coffee and you're acting that way? So I just don't see this team the way that's profiled as having those kinds of issues.
And if they do have a guy like that, now's the time for Breslow to make an addition by subtraction and move them off the team, right? I mean, you should know your players right now, whoever it is. I'm not saying Marcelo is that guy, but if that permeates the building, then you should think about moving him.
Case in point, who was the number one malcontent last year on the team?
Yeah, Rafi Devers.
And he was considered the best player on the team. Right. So it's usually older guys that are kind of like, dude, really? You know, I think that it is a young team like this that everyone's really just trying to, you know, prove themselves in the sport.
All right. I said it earlier in the show. If Jaylen Brown's going to get moved, it's going to happen within the next 24 hours. We've got the free agency opening tomorrow, and boy, I have been looking down and seeing some of the news that's coming in. There's a lot of moves being made right now, like within the last hour. Some of them kind of funny, to be quite honest. Like Marcus Smart, my man, he's turned down his $5 million over there with the Lakers. He's looking to try to. Where is he going to go? There's a lot of moving parts. And Jaylen Brown could be one of them. There's another team that has come out as being someone who could be a potential trade destination. I don't want what they're offering, but man, it's getting to the point where it looks like beggars can't be choosers anymore. We will get to all that audio right after this.
One last point I wanted to make on that Jaylen trade. We didn't have a Houston trade in there because Houston has literally been telling everybody we want no part of Jaylen. We're not interested. That team was a Bravo show last year. How are they drawing the line at, oh, Jaylen Brown would make us weird? You guys had the weirdest team in the planet. You know what Jaylen Brown would do is actually show up for games and not roll over in a playoff series. Anyway, LaMelo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, settle down.
What's
Houston.
The number
you
one?
You guys were a disaster last year.
Man, that's revealing.
I have not heard that clip.
That's awesome.
Bill Simmons.
I mean, what does that tell you, though, Rich? Like, no interest, like flat out, no interest in Jaylen Brown. That's
E-May.
Ime coached Jaylen Brown and still wants no part of him?
That's weird.
That's kind of an indictment, right, big time on Jaylen Brown.
Listen, I know the salaries are nowhere near the same, but that team I was talking about that Marcus Smart most likely might go to is Houston.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, you know what? Perfect. Perfect place for him, man. Hey, can I just, something we were talking about earlier about the age, we're talking about LeBron going to Golden State, right? So
yeah.
if Golden State rolled out to five starters next year, if LeBron goes there, you have Jimmy Butler at 36, Steph Curry at 38, Draymond Green 36, Al Horford 40, and LeBron at 41. That's an average age of 38 years. OKC is average age is 24, and the Spurs average age is 24.5. So they would be by far the oldest team in the NBA by most standards.
Ted, great minds think alike, because I actually, during the commercial break, wrote this down too. I added the ages of the starting five of both teams.
Oh, did you?
I did. And if you add the ages of the starting five of the Spurs, the total combined age is 116 years old. Okay, 116 years old if you add them together. And if you added the starting five, this is if the starting five for Golden State was LeBron, Al Horford, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green. Let's say.
Oh, I forgot Anthony Davis. Okay.
But you're right. But you had Jimmy Butler there. Yeah. So if you did those five, so the Spurs, the total combined age was 116. The Golden State Warriors would be 188 years, which means there would be a 72-year difference between Golden State and the Spurs. Now that would be a fun team to watch.
Oh, it would.
But the best, as I said, somebody called them the NBA's version of the Expendables, and I can't think of a better example than that.
But what wins in the league now? Youth or
feels like
experience?
I feel like it's the youth movement.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 2 years,
to a certain extent, but then the Knicks had the experience in the finals.
Well, you're right. You're right. But I feel like just there's something about, you know, teams are running and gunning. They're pushing it more. Defense been turned up. I feel like it's a more of a young man's league, but it's always been an experienced league. You need the experience to get to the championship. I don't know. I feel like that's flipped a little bit, Rich.
But if you want to talk about experience, I mean, Jaylen Brown himself, you know, on Twitter this past weekend was saying there's nobody who's played more postseason or regular season games than I have. What was the stat that he threw out there?
It's almost like he's putting out his resume for teams. Oh, you know,
that's all he does.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting embarrassed right now. And that clip right there from Bill Simmons, that's pretty, I have to be honest, it's kind of shocking, because, you know, we were all speculating that his value wasn't anywhere near what Brad Stevens thought it was, just because of the things we've been hearing, just because I don't think the Miami deal was better than what he would have gotten from the Celtics, what the Bucks would have gotten. I also think that the players that are being offered up in some of these potential trades with other teams, no one's as good as Jaylen Brown that I'm seeing out there. And then the four first-round picks just drives me crazy, because if they're going to get picks, that's insanity, because you've got a Jason Tatum in his prime, and you're going to try to get guys that may not even end up being. And the next few drafts are going to suck, according to Jeff Goodman. So, like, all of these things just say to me, he's not worth what we thought it was, and I couldn't figure out whether it's just because – you know, people are looking at stats or analytics, or it's because of the drama.
Well, one thing
Simmons said right there, it sounds like almost more of the drama than it is the player himself.
The picks, if you use the picks as just value, like, for instance, Washington traded two firsts for Anthony Davis. They're going to flip him for four firsts, probably, to Golden State. So it's just, you're kind of moving pieces around of value. So I don't have if Brad Stevens' end game is to take those picks and trade them for active players, it makes some sense.
I hope
that's the case, Rich, because otherwise it's just stunning. You're right. It's like, what are they doing? And they've been interested in Time Lord again. And there's another guy that declared free agency, Kevon Looney, who won twice with Golden State. He was in New Orleans.
Yeah, 11-year
vet. And that makes sense to me. Like, you have some of these pieces emerging that are like, all right, that guy would help you, but only if you're in win now mode.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you get Time Lord back if you're not going to try to win this year?
All right, so Ken, I need to get your opinion on this, because you know more about like the numbers and everything behind the scenes. As I can't figure out, there was another thing that was proposed, and as a matter of fact, we may have a clip of Bill Simmons talking about. I only want to hear Stiz the beginning of this clip, if you don't mind, just where he's talking about Jaylen Brown and what the Denver Nuggets might offer.
Billowing around Denver in general. Some I believe, some I don't believe. Murray and Cam Johnson for Jaylen and Hauser, which would save Denver $10 million this year. The Celtics could take Cam Johnson in their trade exception. Murray is $50 million this year, 54 and 57. So he's about $8 million behind Jaylen in each of those years.
But same amount of years.
Same amount of years, but I'm shaving off $7, $8 million. I'm adding Cam Johnson, who I can either keep or spin in a trade. And I am getting somebody who I still think is one of the best 25 players in the league back for Jaylen. And I think I think if I'm Boston, I'm signing up for that trade.
Okay. I love Jamal Murray. Don't get me wrong. As a matter of fact, Jamal Murray is the only name outside of Giannis that's been mentioned in all of this where I go, okay, well, that's somebody you're not losing a ton of value there, because I think Jamal Murray is not quite as good as Jaylen Brown, but he's at least in his caliber. He's that caliber of a player. And he's won before at the highest level, and he's clutch as hell. But how are you fixing anything if you do that? Like, you're not fixing your big man problem. You're not fixing a money problem, because it sounds like that's one thing that they've been trying to do. What you're doing is you're getting a guy who we don't know has chemistry with Jason Tatum. Say what you will about how they don't like each other, whatever like that. They've played together very well. Like, the one thing when it comes to the basketball part of it, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have played together very well. And it sounds like the money is fairly similar between the two of them. I think Jamal Murray's up for an extension like next year. It's not the 2 years from now that Jaylen
is. Three years left on his deal, and probably the same. He'd be up for an extension. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me why that makes any sense at all, unless outside of the fact that Jaylen just doesn't want to play here. How does that make any sense?
Is Jamal Murray does the offense run through him? Does he kind of which to me is something we talk about a big man, but they also, I think, have always needed somebody to be the main ball handler. He's a point guard, so it's kind of like, you know, all right, I know he's not the big, but the second prize for me would be like a guy that the offense runs through.
And then you trade Derek White, or you keep White? Because now you're kind of going younger. A little bit younger. I mean, Murray's 29. He's not that young.
If I had to, I would. I would put Derek White at point. If you're gonna bring in Jamal Murray, I would be okay letting go of Derek White.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'd be the play, Rich. So, I mean, there might be
multiple moves. Is that one you would do?
I don't think that's enough to beat the Knicks. I mean, Jamal Murray and Cam Johnson. Who's your big man? I mean, you still
got a big man problem. You still have a big man problem. And I also looked at their 3-point. I mean, if you know, bringing in Jamal Murray is not going to improve your 3-point. I mean, he's terrible at 3-point. So he's at 31% of
That's
shooting.
Good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
give me bad 3-point shooters.
And Cameron Johnson's even worse. So you're not bringing those two guys in to shoot threes.
The one thing that you could say about Jamal Murray is that he's clutch. Like, we've seen him so many times close out games. Like, he is clutch as hell. This would ever be as low as Jaylen Brown's has been.
State your source.
Yeah, that's right. State your source. By the way, we will have that guy who Jaylen Brown was all over, Bobby Marks. He'll be on with us in the 5 o'clock hour as well. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got some more audio from Jaylen Brown. Went nuts calling people out. On top of that, we've got Will Fleming had himself a good weekend. If you want to hear somebody extremely happy, I know I said that this morning I came in covered in peanut butter after running around the neighborhood nude. I have a feeling Will Fleming feels me. He feels exactly how I felt. We'll play some of that here in just a moment. We'll be back in 2 minutes.